Hello? Okay. Hi, everyone. Happy Sabbath. First of all, let's just praise God a little bit more. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to your name, oh God. God, you are so good. I thank God for praise and worship this morning. Before I am a speaker, I am a worshiper. That is just what I do. Praise is what I do. And it just helps to set the atmosphere and to set the tone and to usher the spirit of God. And I just want to thank the praise team. I'm already emotional. I just want to thank you guys for just following God. And musicians, you guys are awesome. I thank God for this house. And I thank God for everyone in it. I just want to say, first of all, it is an honor being up here. It is an honor to be used by God. It is an honor to stand here because phenomenal speakers have stood here. Nicole has been here. Pastor Dawson. Devon has been up here. You know, Duwanya. And I just am honored to be here. I'm going to ask everyone to bow your heads and just pray with me this morning. Dear Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the message that you have given, Lord God. I ask that you open our minds and our hearts to receive you and to not leave here the same, Lord God, but to be changed because of you and your power and your Holy Spirit. We love you and we thank you, Lord God. Have your way in this place today. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Pastor Dawson spoke about confessing sins and how it is a requirement for salvation. This morning, I'm going to go deeper into sin, the topic of sins, and it's something that we don't usually talk about unless we're talking about how God forgives us for our sins or unless we're talking about somebody else's sin. So this morning, we're going to be talking about sin, and when the Lord first gave this to me, I was like, Lord, are you sure that's what you want me to talk about? Because some people might get offended, some people might disagree with what I say, and I said, maybe I misunderstood, so I tried to read something else that was about something else. But the Lord just kept bringing me back to sin. And another reason why I was hesitant about it was because I don't come up here and speak about something I don't know. And I happen to know a little bit about sin. Yes. I mean, brace yourselves. I too have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I am not perfect. I know. But I'm not. I have sinned too. So, that's what we're going to talk about this morning, sin. And I'm going to answer three questions. First question is, what is sin? Second question, why do we sin? The third question is, what happens when we sin? First question, what is sin? Second question, why do we sin? And the third question, what happens when we sin? Now, whenever I study anything, I always look up the definition, whether I think I know what it means or not. Because even if I know the word, sometimes the definition gives me a clearer understanding of what the word is. Or the definition gives me a new understanding of what the word is. So I looked up in one of the Bible dictionaries that I have, sin. And all it said was transgression. So that really wasn't good enough for me. So what I did was look up sin in the Bible and how it's used scripture-wise. So I'm going to ask everyone to turn with me to 1 John chapter 3. And excuse me because I have several books up here and several Bibles just for different reasons. So we're going to look up 1 John verse 4. If you have it, say amen. If you need a little time, just put your finger up. I'll stall and give you a little more time. 1 John chapter 3. We're going to read verse 4. And it says, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For the sin is transgression of the law. There's that word again, transgression. Sin is transgression. So, I looked up transgression in a different dictionary. And the meaning that it gave me was basically a violation of the law. So what is sin? Sin is a violation of God's word. And not only is sin merely a violation of the word of God, but it is an offense against God himself. When we go against God's will, it is a sin. We're going against God. When we go against God's commandments and God's words, it is a sin because we're going against what God said. And so sin is a violation of God's word, but it is also an offense against God himself. And in sin, there are two things that usually happen. Number one, there's guilt involved. And number two, there are penalties. In sin, there's guilt and there's penalties. So we know what sin is. Sin is basically going against God and going against his word. Does everybody have a clear understanding? I know this is basic and it's elementary, but I need to make sure that everyone understands what sin is. Everyone is on the same page about sin. Number two, question number two. Why do we sin? One of the reasons why we sin is because we like it. We may not like to sin, per se, but we might like that particular sin. One of the reasons why we sin is because we like it. Now, some of you may disagree with me. I don't like to sin, and I don't like doing what I do, but then why do you do it? Anyway, let's turn to Galatians chapter 5. My Bible is rather small. And when you have Galatians 5, say amen. Oh, everybody has it but me. Okay. Let me hurry up. Okay. Let me put this down. Hold on one second. Galatians chapter 5, verse 17. And it says, for the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Another verse is James chapter 1. And we're going to start at verse 14. Now remember, we're talking about how we sin and why we sin. And James chapter 1, verse 14. If you have it, say amen. All right. It says, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when the desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. We like it. Some of the things we you know that you should not desire? How many times have you desired that beverage that's for 21 and over? How many times have you desired that? How many times have you desired that third or fourth helping of something that maybe you should not be having three and four helpings of? Because you like it. It's a desire that you have. How many times have you been enticed by something or enticed by someone? You know, different strokes for different folks. We sin sometimes because we like it. Now, another reason why we sin is to get ahead. Sometimes we do certain things to try to put us over or get us in front of someone else. And an example of that, it's going to be in Genesis chapter 27. How many times has someone called you and said, hey, can I use you as a reference? And you're like, sure. And then they say, okay, I need you to say X, Y, and Z because I said A, B, and C. Well, why do you need to tell, if it's the truth, why do you need to tell someone what to say if you're going to use them as a reference? We sin sometimes to get ahead. So we're going to look at this story in Genesis 27. And this is a story about Jacob and Esau. And we all know this story, but we're just going to basically recap. You guys have to excuse me. Jacob's voice, but the hands of Esau. And he did not recognize him because his hands were hairy like his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. Jacob took the place of Esau because he felt that he should have the blessing. And instead of going to God and saying, Lord, please bless me, or Lord, I will wait until it's my turn to be blessed, he took it upon himself to go and steal the blessing from Esau, steal the blessing from Isaac. And that's sometimes what we do. We try to jump the gun because we think God needs our help. Or we jump the gun because we're just tired of waiting. And we go and we do these sins in order to get ahead. The interesting thing is, Jacob tricked his father into giving him his brother's blessing. But, you know, sometimes they say, what goes around comes around. Turn to Genesis chapter 29. And we're going to start with verse, I believe I wrote down 16. I believe that's what that says. So we're going to go with 16. And it says, now Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah's eyes were delicate, but Rachel was beautiful of form and appearance. Now Jacob loved Rachel, so he said, I will serve you 7 years for Rachel, your younger daughter. And Laban said, it is better that I give her to you than that I should give her to another man. Stay with me. So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel. Jacob served 7 years for Rachel. And it seemed only a few days to him because of the love he had for her. Then Jacob said to Laban, give me my wife, for the days are fulfilled, that I may go into her. And Laban gathered together all the men of the place and made a feast. Now it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah, his daughter, and brought her to Jacob, and he went into her. And Laban gave his maid Zilpah to his daughter Leah as a maid. So it came to pass in the morning that, behold, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, what is this you have done to me? Was it not for Rachel that I served you? Why then have you deceived me? He realized now the deceit that was in switching sisters around. He didn't realize that deceit in switching the brothers around. But like I said, what goes around comes around. So Laban sinned because he wanted to get Jacob for 7 more years. Jacob sinned because he wanted Esau's blessing. There's just sin flying everywhere. Sin, 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 sin. And they sinned because they wanted to get ahead. When we sin because we like it. We enjoy doing whatever it is that we're doing. When we sometimes sin to get ahead. But what it boils down to is who or what are we going to choose to obey? That brings me to question number 3. What happens when we sin? When we sin, we are making a choice. We are choosing who or what we are going to obey. Let's go back to Genesis 27. Let's start again at verse 1. Now it came to pass when Isaac was old and his eyes were so dim that he could not see, that he called Esau, his older son, and said to him, my son. And he answered him. loved Esau, his son. And Esau went to the field to hunt game and to bring it. So Rebekah spoke to Jacob, her son, saying, "Indeed, I heard your father speak to Esau, your brother, saying, 'Bring me game and make savory food for me, that I may eat it and bless you in the presence of the Lord before my death.' Now, therefore, my son, obey my voice. Obey my voice according to what I command. Go now to the flock and bring me from there two choice kids of the goats, and I will make savory food from them for your father, such as he loves. Then you shall take it to your father, and he may eat it, and that he may bless you before his death." And Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, "Look, Esau is my brother. Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I am a smooth-skinned man. Perhaps my father will feel me, and I shall seem to be a deceiver. I will seem, because my skin is smooth, and when he touches me, I'll kind of look like a deceiver. So if my skin wasn't hairy, and I still lied to him, I'm not a deceiver?" So he said that I may seem like a deceiver to him, and I shall bring a curse on myself and not a blessing. But his mother said to him, "Let your curse be on me, my son. Only obey my voice and go get them for me." And he went and he got them and brought them to his mother. And his mother made a savory food such as his father loved. Then Rebekah took the choice clothes of her elder son, which were with her in the house, and put them on Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins overtakes them. And the people around them are trying to reach out to them and touch them and bring them back. And they're going through anguish because of the person who is depressed, the person who is depressed because of their sin. The people who are reaching out to them aren't the ones who sin, but that person's sin is affecting them. Then there's generational curses. Sin is not just some small thing. Sin is not just, oh, I messed up, I'm sorry. Sin affects way too many people in a major way. Think of things that happen today. You hear stories all the time about how someone loses their family because they can't stop drinking. How people lose their jobs because of their sin. How families are broken up because of affairs. Sin is not just, oops, I'm sorry. Sin is not, oh, I messed up, I won't do it again. You have to be more conscious of what you're doing. You have to take this sin thing seriously. The first question was, what is sin? Sin is when we go against the Word of God and when we go against God Himself. The second question was, why do we sin? We sin because we like it. We sin to get ahead. We sin because we make the wrong choice. And the third question we just went through, what happens when we sin? It's not just we stumble and fall. Sin affects many aspects of our lives and the lives of the people around us. I want to go back to Jacob and how he put on all this stuff and he put on the skins and everything to try to fool his father into thinking that he was someone else. Not only did he lie to his father, but just that whole idea is sin, because God had a plan for Jacob. God called Jacob to be one person. He called Esau to be somebody else. So when you start trying to be somebody else because you think that's going to get you ahead, or you start trying to act like you think someone wants you to act, that's sin against God. That is sin against God. When you don't follow the path that God has laid for you, when you don't live the life that God has spoken for you, that is sin. That is going against the Word of God and going against God Himself. So, ultimately, sin is a choice. Turn with me to Romans chapter 6. When you have it, say amen. We're going to read verse 12 through 17. And it says, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. You are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know to whom you present yourselves as slaves to obey? You are that one's slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart and from the doctrine to which you were delivered. Thank God for God. The word says you are saved by grace through faith, but it also says faith without works is dead. So God has saved you. You are saved by His grace, but you've got to going to obey? Who are you going to choose to obey evil desires? Or are you going to choose to obey God and obey righteousness? Are you going to choose to obey that man or that woman who shouldn't be in your life? Are you going to choose to obey that food or that drink? Are you going to choose to obey the quote-unquote almighty dollar? Are you going to choose life or are you going to choose death? Because that's basically what you're doing. You are already saved by grace. All you have to do is make the right choices. I know I said that there were three questions that I was going to answer, but there's one more question that you have to answer. And the question is, who will you choose to obey? Dwayne, can you hand me that devotional book right there? This morning in devotion, I was reading, and one thing stuck out at me. It says, to have a close, rewarding relationship with God, you don't have to be perfect, but you do need to be genuinely committed to the relationship. We all sin. Like I said, I've sinned, you've sinned. We all sin. We all occasionally make the wrong choices. But do we make those choices because we don't try to make the right choices? Do we make those choices because we think, God is going to forgive me, I'll just do it this time? God doesn't, you don't have to be perfect to have a relationship with God, but you do have to be committed to the relationship, which means you have to be committed to work on the relationship, which means you have to be committed to do your best to make the right choices, to do your best to choose to obey God and not your evil desires. It's just that this is such a major thing. We don't go that deep into sin and why we sin and how we sin and what happens when we sin. And we think, you know, we can just come to church and say, you know, forgive me, Lord, and everything is cool. But it's not only what you say, it's what you do. I'm going to ask, if there is anyone here today who knows that they've been making the wrong choice, who knows that they need to change the choices that they make, I'm going to ask you to come up for prayer. If there's something in your life that you know you're not following God's plan for you, you know you're not following God's word for you, I'm going to ask you to stand up. And just come up for prayer so that we can pray that God can come into your hearts and your minds and your spirits and bring newness and bring life and not and so that you don't have to choose death.